Welcome to the Debate at GO8 podcast series, exploring issues and research affecting the Group of Eight universities and, by extension, Australia's economy and our society. The Group of Eight comprises Australia's leading research-intensive universities, the universities of Melbourne, Sydney, Queensland, Western Australia, Adelaide, the Australian National University, Monash University, and UNSW Sydney. Today, we'll be taking a closer look at research being undertaken at Adelaide University, which has enormous potential benefits for one of the nation's biggest export earners, the wine industry. The recent bushfires, which devastated much of Australia, had a significant impact on wine grapes with what's called smoke taint, creating enormous problems for wine producers. Booth with me today is Vicky Thompson, the CEO of the Group of Eight, and Professor Kerry Wilkinson from the Department of Enology at Adelaide University. And as you can see, we've come prepared for some wine tasting. But before we challenge our taste buds, let's discuss the importance of such research to Australia more generally, this issue of smoke taint. It's fair to say, Vicky Thompson, isn't it, that this sort of research typifies the practical work carried out at many of our GO8 universities?
Absolutely, Ron. The Group of Eight universities undertake around 70% of all university-based research in Australia across eight universities. We spend about $6.5 billion on research, so we are really the heavy lifters. Importantly, though, we spend a lot of our energy and funding on research with industry that has practical solutions. And in fact, if I just consult my notes here, the last time I looked, I think, the university, Group of Eight universities receive research funding from industry and other non-government sources, which is twice that of the entire sector combined. So we've got a really strong focus because there's all different types of research. There's pure, you know, blue sky research, and then there's the applied sort of end of the scale. And our universities are doing that in spades. And I think that's a really important point to note as we discuss this research here, because this actually has an impact on people's lives, on business, on industry, etc. So absolutely critical.
Yeah, this is very much applied research when we look at the issue of smoke taint. Firstly, to you, Kerry Wilkinson, take us back to when you and your colleagues at Adelaide University first started researching this issue of smoke taint, and what is it really?
Yeah, so I probably first tasted a smoke-tainted wine about 15 years ago. My colleagues and I were invited to a winery, and the winemaker wanted us to taste this wine that they were sort of seeing some characters they weren't really sure about. And as we were tasting, at first it seemed okay, and then increasingly this sort of smoky, ashy character built up on the back palate, and we could start to see what they were concerned about. And the winemaker explained that the wine had been made from grapes harvested from a vineyard where smoke from a controlled burn had blown into the vineyard, and then this inversion layer had happened. So the smoke had hung around in this valley where the vineyard was for a period of time, and so they were concerned that it was smoke tainted. And that's really where this research program started.
So Kerry, how big is this problem?
It's definitely a problem. The numbers from the 2020 vintage suggest that there was 1% of Australian production affected by fire damage, and then 4% was affected by smoke damage. So that's a one-off in a particularly bad year. But I guess the problem is that we're seeing that this issue reoccurs, and it's difficult to predict. We don't know where fires are going to occur. We don't know which seasons it's going to happen, and we don't know how many regions will be affected. But the other thing I think it's important to stress is that this is not a unique problem for Australia. So globally, you know, winemakers and grape growers are facing this problem. So we've had fires in, you know, multiple regions in the US, in Canada, in Chile, in South Africa, even in New Zealand, and now Europe's, you know, starting to get concerned as well. So this is something that the global wine industry is facing.
I've looked at some of the photos that you've sent through, and there's vision that people can also access online that looks at some of the research work that you've done with these chambers in which you basically gas, you know, the vines with smoke to a large extent. Tell us about what that's all about. What are you seeking to achieve there?
Yeah, so in our experiments, we obviously want to work with smoke-affected grapes and grapevines, but we can't always guarantee in a vintage we'll have access to smoke-affected fruit. So we can set up experiments in our vineyard at the University of Adelaide, and we put up tents around the grapevines, and then we can apply smoke to those tents for a period of time. So typically we do it for about 1 hour in the growing season, and that gives us the smoke affected grapes. And then if we take it through to a winemaking outcome that we can use for the trials that we need to undertake, so either looking at what the impact of the smoke is on the vine itself or how it's changing the chemistry of the grapes and then the sensory properties of the wine.
Well, we've got a wine here, and this is smoke taint affected. And if you smell it, you know, it ain't great. It
you
has
can smell
a,
the smoke.
Yeah, you can smell the smoke.
Definitely.
What impact does that have on the wine tasting experience? And more generally, what impact does that have on trying to sell a wine like this?
Yeah, so this is a smoke-affected Pinot Noir from the Adelaide Hills. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of get on the nose. It's sort of got those smoky, ashy, you know, burnt rubber type characters. So it's not particularly attractive. And obviously, you know, if consumers taste this, they might not like that wine, and they might not necessarily recognise that, oh, it's smoke tainted, so it's not the fault of the winemaker. It's to do with the grapes. But what the wine industry is grappling with is, if you've got a product like this, you can't take it to market. And this is a fairly extreme example, so I didn't want you to miss what smoke taint was.
You can't miss it.
Yeah, you did warn us about not tasting it, otherwise you'll never get rid of the aftertaste.
But if you've got a case where it's not so obvious, it may just be that the consumer tastes it and thinks, I don't like that wine. Mm-hmm. And then they look at whose wine is it, okay, I don't like their wine, mm-hmm. not realising that actually it's, as I said, it's not the fault of the winemaker, it's the grapes that they're working with. And so industry's sort of grappling with, well, do we put that product out there or not put it out there, because they don't want to damage their brand. And so, you know, then obviously if they don't put a product out there, that's the not just the value of the grapes that they've grown, but it's the value of the wine that they would have, you know, would have put out on the shelf that they're not able to recover.
So it's also the reputational damage potentially to an entire brand, isn't it? And that's a really important point, Ron, that, you know, the wine industry employs in Australia 70,000 people, generates $4 billion per annum in domestic sales and, of course, international sales. And so just like the university sector and our economic impact, the wine sector has a huge impact on the economy. So I can imagine, if not through the fault of the local winemakers, we're putting wine out that has, and this isn't a very obvious aroma of smoke taint, as you quite rightly say, but if you're a more uneducated palate, or you're not, you know, and you don't pick that up, but you know there's something not quite right about it,
you'll remember it, and you'll associate it with that brand.
That's right. So this research really is having an impact on not just the profitability of the wineries, but also our reputation. And Australia is, you know, slowly building our reputation as a wine producing country, which is really important. So we shouldn't underestimate the value of the research in that context.
And also the fact that there were plenty of winemakers from the Adelaide Hills last year who were not affected by the fires, and so they've got perfectly good wines, and so not wanting their brands to be damaged reputationally because everyone thinks, oh, the Adelaide Hills only has smoke-tainted wine. That's absolutely not the case. It was only a small number of producers that were affected.
Now, take us to the research itself. You're working with what are called carbon-activated hoods to stop this process or alleviate this process. What the hell is a carbon-activated hood?
So one of the areas that my research group works in is looking at mitigation of smoke taint. So what can we do to stop the smoke getting into the grapes, or remediation? So what can we do to remove the taint once it is there? Earlier this year, we had a US winery approach us and say, do you think activated carbon fabric could be used as a protective covering for grapes? We thought, that sounds really interesting. And so I said, if you can send us some samples, so that's what I've got here.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like a...
So what does it feel
it's like a material.
Yeah.
And the activated
like
carbon is woven in. And so we said, if you send us some samples, we'll trial it. So we made these little bags. We enclosed some grapes in the bags before we exposed our grapevines to smoke. And then we came back and looked at the composition of the grapes with and without this protecting covering, and with and without smoke exposure. And remarkably, we couldn't detect the compounds that we measure as markers of smoke taint. We couldn't see them in the bags that were protected with the activated carbon fabric.
It's quite fragile.
It is. So there's definitely some logistical issues that we need to...
Of wrapping it around the grape and
that's right.
Not breaking it and not having... I mean, is it prone to... Very uneducated question here, but is it prone to like birds picking at it or It just seems pretty fragile.
Potentially. The issue that we had with this was occasionally, the fabric would tear. The work that we've done so far is really more proof of concept to show that it does work. And we took it a step further where we actually enclosed bunches of grapes in a smoke chamber. So this is a box. So we don't have to go out and do the experiments with the tents in the vineyard, which is quite time and labour intensive. And, we can't do it on a fire ban day, so we're a bit limited. So we did this other trial and we applied a really heavy smoke treatment to these bunches. And we couldn't believe it. Like, the levels that we detected in the bunches that were protected with these fabric bags was 2 to 3% what we saw in our smoke affected bunches.
Yeah, you put out a release recently that says in the early trials the AC Hood showed promising results protecting grapes from 97% of smoke taint. Yeah. That's a remarkable result.
It was quite remarkable. If you see the density of the smoke that we applied in that treatment, and just to see that these fabric bags just completely blocked the smoke was amazing.
So the wines taste good?
Yeah, I've got some for you to try today.
Yeah, I'm ready to have a go, yeah.
You mean you don't want to taste the smoke taint one?
No, I think we'll leave that aside, that one.
So this is our control wine. So this one's made with Mataro.
Well, it smells a lot better for a start.
Mm. Yeah, so this is quite a fruity wine. It's mostly fruit-driven.
Mm-hmm. And this is a Mataro?
This is Mataro.
Yep. Nothing wrong with that.
Okay, if I give you the smoke version, so this is the one I don't recommend tasting because it's next one's quite tainted.
Certainly strong on the nose.
Oh yeah.
So that was only 15 minutes.
Do you not
minutes.
Think you should try it?
Well,
I'll go first.
Not good?
Yeah, it's there much more on the palate than on the nose.
That ain't great.
Look, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. I'll leave you to it.
You are so right. There's that. It's hard to describe, but a woody carbon, it feels like it's burnt.
Yeah, it's quite an ashy, ashy drying character.
Yeah, and so that would be devastating.
And this one?
So this is the wine that was made with the activated carbon fabric protecting the grapes.
You.
And is this a Mataro as well?
Also a Mataro. So these three wines were all made with the same
cheers,
grapes.
Vic.
Cheers, Ron.
This is the good one.
This is the good stuff.
Yeah. And so our sensory panel couldn't pick up any sensory difference in this wine compared to the control wine, even though it was in exactly the same chamber as the grapes that we used to make the smoke. So it just goes to show how well these bags are protecting the fruit.
Now, bags over bunches of grapes is very labour intensive, but we do use netting for birds. Is there a way in which you can adapt bird netting to incorporate this sort of carbon activated hood?
Absolutely. So that's where we think we'll need to go next. That the labour associated with putting a bag of and our activated carbon bag on every single bunch in a vineyard will be prohibitively expensive. So really the challenge for us now is to find a way to functionalise this technology in a way that's practical. So we need to find a way to make the material stronger so that it doesn't tear when we're using it, and also to be able to apply it ideally to the whole vineyard so that we can, have better coverage and protect the fruit so that it's not tainted when another bushfire occurs.
So is this work that you need to do, this next step to scale it up, if you like, where you bring in industry partners, where you need support from industry partners to help develop that?
Yeah, so the winery that we're working with from the US, so Peter Michael Winery, have been really, really great collaborators so far. And they've sort of invited interest from manufacturers and other producers to both test the material in their vineyards, but also to help us develop this technology now so that it's something that we can roll out more feasibly in vineyards. And we'll continue to do the research, in collaboration with our industry partners to test how well we can use this carbon activated carbon fabric, and how we can apply it in a way that, you know, that benefits the wine industry.
How does it feel to work on a project like that? There must be, you know, when researchers work on so many different things, but when you're working on something that has such a practical application and such a benefit to South Australia more generally, it must be a great thing to work on.
Yeah, it's pretty rewarding. I mean, as a scientist, to be able to take the skills that you've got in, you know, an area such as chemistry and to apply it to try and address a, you know, what is a significant issue for industry, is pretty amazing. And I can say that my research team has been pretty excited with the results that we've been generating and the interest that we've had from industry on this project.
So I was just going to ask you about the research teams, because what a lot of people don't understand is the grunt work that goes behind it. You know, Kerry's sitting here with her wines and we're seeing the sort of the fruits of her labour, if you like, but I'm imagining this has been many, many years in the making, it often is, and supported by a dedicated team of researchers, PhD students in particular. We're recording this and having this conversation in the COVID context, where things have changed, our borders are closed, a lot of our PhD students are international students. You mentioned, you know, a lot of support from a winery in the US. I'm just interested to know from your perspective as, you know, a researcher who is actually at the coalface, how is COVID impacting upon your team and the research that you're able to do? And also the fact that, you know, our universities are in a really challenging time at the moment in terms of funding, and whether or not at your, you know, are you seeing that actually kind of demonstrate itself in terms of what you're able to do?
Yeah, absolutely. COVID-19 has definitely been a challenge for research. Obviously, wine tasting, there's a lot of tasting and spitting, and so we, for a period of time, just shut down anything sensory related. Mm-hmm. We had trials where we've had to have special approval for students to travel interstate to work in vineyards that are elsewhere because of potential lockdowns. Mm-hmm. I had a student that we were hosting from Italy who made a very last minute decision back in March last year to jump on a plane and get back to Italy, which was probably a very good move at the time because otherwise she might have been stranded here and unable to return home. So it's absolutely affected our research. I remember meeting with an industry partner on the Victoria-South Australia border so that we could exchange some equipment. They were lending us some sensors for measuring particulate matter in smoke because we weren't able to travel.
Literally handing it over?
Literally
the
meeting, okay, on the border to exchange, wow, equipment for trials that we were looking to run. And again, we had to have permission to go out into a region to conduct those experiments. So, yeah, it's certainly been challenging. And we do have a lot of international students. There have been projects that have been delayed because international students haven't been able to come to Australia to start their research.
And in an ideal world, you'd want to go to Peter Michael Winery in California, wouldn't you?
We'd love to. Yeah, that's right. We had students that were supposed to do placement with another of our industry partners in California, and we weren't able to send those students there. So we've just had to find ways to continue the research as best as possible.
But when you look at the importance of this work, we've seen the California wildfires, you know, the massive. We've seen, you know, that devastating summer bushfire season that we had not so long ago here. So globally, there's a massive market, this sort of technology, and with climate change, it's only going to get bigger.
Absolutely. I think the US wine industry, particularly in California, are quite concerned now because they've been experiencing a prolonged drought for some time. They know how dry their scrublands and their vegetation is, and I think they're fairly concerned that, you know, their 2021 vintage might be again affected by bushfires. So I think they're a little bit nervous about what's coming. And so hopefully this technology, you know, even if in its early stages, might at least give them, you know, some kind of an option.
But potentially this is game-changing technology for smoke taint affected wines.
It's certainly the most effective strategy for mitigation in the vineyard that I've been involved in researching
in
15 years.
Protecting the grapes from 97% of smoke taint. Now the next phase is getting to a point where you can make this, you know, applicable practically in vineyards across the world.
That's right. Yeah.
So to you, Vicky, again, it sort of emphasises just the nature of GO8 research work and the practical implication that touches the lives of pretty much every South Australian, because the wine industry is so important to us.
Well, every Australian, and certainly I think the consumption of alcohol has increased during COVID, and I don't know whether that's good or bad, but nevertheless that has happened. But it is a very good example, and Kerry has articulated it really well, not just the incredible research that we do, which is impacting on people's lives, industry, business, profitability, but the challenges to that research in the context that we're in.
Mm.
You know, she talked about, you talked about the student from Italy who had to go back. You lose that expertise, and getting that person back may be very difficult. Mm. They may not come back. And so, you know, we've talked previously about the value of these international collaborations, because research is a global pursuit. You know, we are fantastic, but we need to actually do our research with our international partners. And so, you know, one of the things we're trying to do through these podcasts is actually explain to people that research is not some kind of thing that doesn't affect them. It actually affects businesses, their livelihoods. It changes and improves lives. And I think you've given us a really good example of that today.
Well, thanks to both of you. We'll have to leave the discussion there, but feel free to stick around, because we've still got some wines to finish off, all in the name of research, obviously. But thanks very much today.
Thanks. Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks for your company today. If you'd like more information about the issues raised in this podcast or other related topics, please visit our website at go8.edu.au. And a quick reminder that you can always tune in to Debate at Go8 on Spotify, Google, Apple, or YouTube.